In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Hope everybody's warm. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And my fondest Super Bowl memory is Super Bowl 26, which is the very last time the Washington Redskins won a Super Bowl.
I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies. And my fondest Super Bowl memory is similar. It's John Riggins' 43-yard scamper on 4th-and-1 that sealed a victory for the Redskins in Super Bowl 17 in 1983.
Feels like a century ago.
It feels like two centuries ago at this point.
Yeah. Just a reminder, friends, Kelly is off the next 3 weeks for TCAs. We will miss her dearly. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, it would be awesome. You would score a touchdown in our books if you could write a quick review about the show and rate us. You not only help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us, but as a bonus, we will give you a special shout out during the episode. So try it out. Tell us what you think. If you have a show idea, if you have a nickname for one of our hosts, we will take all feedback. We greatly appreciate it. It's all upside for you. Don't forget, along with leaving us a review, you can also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. We're on email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, if you're a sports fan, if you really love commercials, if you just like the Puppy Bowl, this is your weekend. It is Super Bowl Sunday coming up. The Patriots play the Rams, but there are a zillion other podcasts where you can hear about all those X's and O's. We're here to talk about football on film. It's no stranger to Hollywood. We have seen this sport covered a zillion times through TV and movies and pretty much any entertainment medium you can think of. So that's what we're here to talk about, our favorite football movies. There are a ton out there. I was actually going through IMDb, and I forgot there are a zillion football movies out there.
On life.usa.com, there I have a top 25 football movies rankings. I ranked all of them. A lot of people hate it. I've heard from a lot of people who have lots of issues with my top 25. And I left off the program. A lot of people, you know, got really irked that I left off the program, but it doesn't belong there.
People have opinions about rankings. Who thought?
Indeed. But I think people have a lot of opinions about rankings, but also football movies. I think, you know, their football is America's pastime. Sorry, baseball, but football really is. And I think, you know, I think the football movies have come along with that.
So, okay, real quick before we dig into the films, quick Super Bowl prediction that will be etched forever in podcast memory. Who you got?
Patriots.
I'm going Rams. I don't know why.
I don't think the Rams are that good.
They
score a lot of points, and they're like kind of America's new team because everybody kind of loves them because, you know, they kind of came out of nowhere. They're in L.A. They're kind of hip and cool. But I don't think you can stop the Patriots, man. I think they just kind of do everything right, and they know how to win.
I kind of feel like the Rams have unsealed the portal of, like, Patriots dominance for so long that it just feels right that they kind of close the portal for the next however long it is.
Yeah. They got to close the portal at some point.
I'm going on nothing but just this whole storyline that I've concocted in my head. So that's the only thing I'm basing this on. All right, let's dig in. Again, we said so many football movies out there. We picked three apiece since there's only two of us and there are a ton of football films. So that's what we got. Let's dig in, Brian, with your first pick.
My first pick is my favorite, which is Rudy. Came out in 1983. Sean Astin plays Rudiger, who's, you know, kind of it's based on the real life story of a Notre Dame walk-on who's like 5 foot nothing, weighs 100 nothing, you know, just a really pint-sized dude that kind of makes it on the field, and, you know, kind of like through it, you know, through remarkable like things, and he shouldn't have even gone to Notre Dame, shouldn't even gone on the football field, kind of like everything got in his way, and he kind of like made it anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also gonna walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't gonna never happen. Now go on back.
Sorry I never got you to see your first game in here.
Hell, I've seen too many games in this stadium.
I thought you said you never saw a game.
I've never seen a game from the stands.
You were a player?
I rode the bench for 2 years. Thought I wasn't being played because of my color. I got filled up with a lot of attitude. So I quit. Still not a week goes by, I don't regret it. And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
And so in Charles S. Dutton's in it, a couple of no-names, Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn are also in this movie, which I think it's kind of really interesting to kind of see those guys. I think Vince Vaughn's like kind of like a jerky fellow football player, and Jon Favreau's like his like Rudy's best friend. It's interesting to kind of see those two because I believe it's before Swinger. It's right around
I think
the time
Swingers
was
around 96, 97.
Yeah, so it's right before Swingers. So it's interesting to kind of see those two like, they have no like scenes together. I mean, kind of like they're both in kind of like different subplots in Rudy's life, but it's interesting to kind of see them in the same movie.
It is like the quintessential underdog film.
I like it better than Rocky. I know that's like, I know people are going to like yell at me for that, but I love Rudy way more than Rocky. Huge underdog story. He comes out of nowhere, but he like looks like a boxer. I mean, like, you know, he has physical traits. I mean, he's, you know, he hits, you know, slabs of meat. He trains with, you know, tries to do chicken, you know, try to chase chickens to get in shape, you know. But he looks like Sylvester Stallone. Sean Astin looks like, is like a pint-sized football. Doesn't look like he should be put on a football field. And I think, and neither did Rudy. So I think I can, so it's a kind of truer underdog story for me because of that. Because it's just like Sylvester Stallone kind of like looks like Sylvester Stallone.
He looks like he could box.
Yeah, totally. And like Sean Astin doesn't look like he belongs, you know, he doesn't look like he should be the water boy. Sorry, Sean Astin.
Did that give you the feels? Was that like a cry? I'm trying to remember because
yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, because they like roil it up in you. And like, yeah. You know, so like one, when he hits the field, like he runs on like in that kickoff scene at the end, it's just like all the feels just rain down upon. And then, you know, like the brothers got, you know, clapping and like the brothers like spent the whole movie like dogging him. For saying, "Oh, you can't do it. You can't do anything. You're kind of worthless." Not that mean, but kind of saying along those lines. But it's just like every, and then there's like, you know, Charles S. Dutton is like the kindly like football. You know, he operates the stadium and does the grass and everything. He's sitting there clapping. There's that GIF I always use it.
I was gonna say that's
it's the greatest GIF ever. But it's so, you know, kind of like you spent like 2 hours with this guy like getting beat on and like people, girls turning him down and yeah, people having him like spray helmets, spray gold helmets, you know, just all this kind of stuff. So when he hits that field, it's just like, it's kind of like cathartic release of like joy. So that's, I mean, I, you know, you can't get any better than that.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. My first pick is a classic, Jerry Maguire, which came out in 1996. It stars Tom Cruise as Jerry Maguire, who is this sports agent, and he works with a lot of, you know, top-notch NFL players. He's at the peak of his career. He's dating Kelly Preston. Kelly Preston plays his girlfriend. So he's kind of at the peak of everything. He has this kind of crisis in his career and his life, and he kind of feels like he needs to change things up. At the same time, there's a new agent, Bob Sugar, played by Jay Moore, who's coming up and tries to poach all his clients. So he gets fired from his agency, and so he tries to start up with nothing. So the only people supporting him are Renee Zellweger, who worked at the agency, and just he basically has this big speech where he's like, "I'm out of here, who's coming with me?" And she's the only one that leaves. And Cuba Gooding Jr., who plays Rod Tidwell, who is this receiver who plays for the Cardinals. He's kind of flamboyant. He's not like a superstar, but he's kind of on the edge kind of guy.
I feel like he's like the number three wide receiver.
Something like
when
that,
we first meet him. Like, he has talent, but, like, no one likes him because he jaw-jacks too much.
Exactly, yeah. So, basically, those are the only two people that believe in him, and so it's kind of the whole movie of him kind of finding his way back. It's responsible, I think, for the two of the greatest scenes in most movies, even just football. There's obviously the one at the end where Tom Cruise is talking to Renee Zellweger's character, and, you know, he basically has this big speech about how he loves her, and he's like, "You complete me," and, you know, Renee Zellweger's like, "Shut up, you had me at hello," that whole thing. Classic. The other scene, which I just watched earlier, and it's still amazing now, is the Show Me the Money scene. There's a moment where Tom Cruise's character is calling back all his clients. I think Jerry O'Connell's one of them, and he ends up jumping ship to another agent. And so he's calling all the players he represents. And so Rod Tidwell, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character, is the last guy on the list. So he calls him up, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is at his home, and he's like, "You know what? I'll stay with you, Jerry. I believe in you, but you got to do one thing." And he's like, "Show me the money." And he makes him in his office scream, "Show me the money." And there's this amazing scene of him just screaming, "Show me the money," and them going back and forth on the phone call. It's one of the best scenes ever, I think, in any football film, honestly.
So another sneaky good scene in that movie kind of comes afterward. Rod Tidwell kind of, you know, they do hook up. He does get shown the money, and, you know, he starts playing better. And then there's that one scene where, at the, you know, like, he gets crushed in the end zone, like, catching a touchdown pass. And, like, you're like, "Oh, my God, is he hurt?" You know, kind of like, is his career over and everything? And, like, I think Regina King plays his wife. And, like, every, you know, like, his whole family's watching on TV and everything. So you're like, "Oh, my God, is he hurt?" But he's, like, he's just kind of laying there for just, like, to soak up the drama a little bit. So it's a really good kind of sneaky good scene that we don't really talk about, because we get the, you know, kind of, there's the Show Me the Money scene and the, you know, kind of, like, You Complete Me scene. But I feel like that's one of my favorites. It's just kind of, like, because you have a lot of the emotion of, like, you know, this guy kind of, like, wasn't the greatest. And then, like, you know, he stuck with his manager, got Asian guy, got shown the money, and then was worth all the money. And you're like, "Oh, my God, is his career now over?" Because, you know, even before it really begins.
And the best, too, I think right after that happens, he gets up and he starts breakdancing on the field crazy, like, it was wonderful. There's also near the end, there's another great part where he's on like one of those ESPN talk shows, and the host reveals that he just got a new contract. And so he starts breaking down on set. "I love you, Jerry." And then they, like, hug. And it's a really powerful moment, but a classic. That's probably my favorite football film ever, even though it's mostly about being an agent. But it's like, just the relationship between Tom Cruise and Cuba Gooding's characters.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, half a football film. But I feel like, you know, kind of when I was ranking all these things, I was like, well, because I put in The Last Boy Scout. Because The Last Boy Scout, kind of not a football film in a way. It's set in the world of football, but it's more about kind of like, it's like a buddy, you know, kind of a buddy cop dramedy kind of thing. But it's got some of the best, like, you know, kind of that opening scene with, like, the kind of, like, the Monday Night Football takeoff and the dude running down running in the rain and shooting the cornerback so he can get a touchdown in the face. You know, it's so over the top, but it's good, you know, and because it's got enough football where I consider it a football movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what, I don't even know. Do you have a cutoff as far as, like, how much football does there need to be in the movie for you to say, okay, it's a football film? Or is it just kind of, you know, a character happens to be a football player? I don't know if I'd go that far, but I feel like if football is kind of a core part of the movie, even if they're not showing a lot of footage of people playing, I think that's kind of, that was my bottom line, really.
So, I mean, I'm pretty liberal, I think, in terms of that, you know, because I put Heaven Can Wait on my list because it's not about football. It's more about the guy, you know, he's a quarterback. And he's just getting the starting job, and then he dies, and, you know, he goes up to heaven. They're like, "Oh, we shouldn't have done that." And then he gets put in, like, the body of, like, this kind of, like, this, you know, rich guy who doesn't play football. But I think there's enough football in it to be like, okay, well, you know, we'll consider it football. I'll consider it football.
Yeah. Okay. Second pick. What's your next pick for football?
My second pick has almost no football in it. It's Draft Day. It came out in 2014, stars Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner, a pre-Black Panther Chadwick Boseman, who is fantastic in it. And it's all about, you know, kind of like the day of the NFL draft. because Kevin Costner plays the Cleveland Browns general manager who finagles the number one pick out of the Seattle Seahawks general manager. And then, like, so, but he doesn't know who to pick. He doesn't know to pick this Bo Callahan guy who's, like, the top quarterback prospect. P. Diddy is his like, agent guy. But Bo Callahan's got, like, he's kind of a head case. He's got, like, a $1 million arm, but, like, no one knows, you know, if what he's going to do. He could be, like, a complete bust. Meanwhile, you know, Kevin Costner, you know, gets called every other second by Vontae Mack, the linebacker. It's like, you know, big time Ohio State defensive player played by Chadwick Boseman. And like, he's not like on anybody's radar at all, you know, because he talks a little bit too much. I mean, he tweets a little bit too much, you know, there's a little bit too much with that guy. But like, Kevin Costner really likes his heart and everything. So it's all about kind of like this whole day of like, how does Kevin Costner save his job? How does he get the right player? How does he turn around this franchise? Meanwhile, like, his dad was like, dad had just been the coach, and he had to fire his dad, and then his dad died. So like, there's all kinds of drama kind of going on. But all the personalities are really fun. The way he deals with the other general managers is kind of fun, because like, there's a Jacksonville guy who's like totally a rookie, and he's just totally wacky. So, and there's like, it straddles, it doesn't really kind of know what it wants to be, because it's like, is it a sports film? Is it a comedy film? Is it a drama? It's kind of all these like weird things all in one, but it kind of works just because all the personalities, you know, kind of like meld together. And it's like weirdly emotional. Kind of there's this whole thing with this, like, you know, because so Kevin Costner's dating Jennifer Garner, and Jennifer Garner's like keeping track of the salary cap. She's more kind of like the financial operations person. But you know, they're having like this kind of like secret romance and everything, but no one really knows about. And so, and there's a thing with like his mom. You know, he's got to deal with his mom and his ex-wife too. So there's like a lot of stuff. So once you get to like the point of like, you know, the actual draft happens and all the kind of the stress of that, then you get a lot of the emotion in it too. And you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, Chadwick's character does get drafted, and that's like one of the best moments in the movie, because like, You see, like, because the dude's a great actor. Anybody who's seen Black Panther or 42 or anything knows he's a great actor. But it's just, even in like a little kind of like weird little movie like this, he's totally acting his ass off. And it's so good. All the personalities really work together. And Kevin Costner, like, is money in pretty much any sports movie you put him in. So I really like it, even though there's almost no football.
Now, how was that movie received? Because I thought when it came out, it was not great.
I kind of think, like, I'm part of Draft Day Twitter. There's like a bunch of us that kind of like, that really, really, really love Draft Day. There's not many people. And we're always like trying to convince other people to watch Draft Day. Because it was like, you know, I think a lot of people, because it doesn't have a lot of football in it, it is kind of like a strange little movie that kind of is a bunch of different things all in one. So it's not talked about a lot with like Rudy. And like Varsity Blues, which I know you're going to talk about, and like Any Given Sunday, which you're also going to talk about. And there's like, you know, there's like the football movie canon, and like Draft Day is like this kind of weird little thing, kind of like straddling the area. But it's great. I love it.
All right, I'm going to have to check it out. Okay, my second pick, Brian hinted at it. Here's a clip.
We'll play the next 24 minutes for the next 24 minutes. And we'll leave it all out on the field. We got the rest of our lives to be mediocre, but we have the opportunity to play like gods for the next half of football. But we can't be afraid to lose. There's no room for fear in this game. And we go out there, and we half-ass it because we're scared. All we're left with is an excuse. We're always going to wonder. But we go out there, and we give it absolutely everything.
That was from Varsity Blues, which came out in 1999. It stars James Vanderbeek. He plays this kid in Texas, Moxon. I forget his first name, but he's playing
Jonathan Moxon.
Jonathan Moxon, that's it. He plays backup quarterback. Paul Walker's the starting quarterback. And it's interesting because so his character is like conflicted, because he kind of likes football, but he's not like everybody else in Texas who eats, breathes, and sleeps football.
Well, he's smart. He can go to college.
Yeah. And I think he had, you know, he's had scholarship offers and things like that. And so he's kind of thinking ahead to his future. Like, football's not in it. John Voight plays his a-hole coach who is on his case constantly and, you know, is he's what you might expect the typical Texas high school football coach to be. Not even Texas, anywhere, really. Okay, it's also got Scott Conn, who plays Tweeter, who's one of the football players in the movie. He's hilarious. There's also Billy Bob. It's a really funny movie. I think John Voight as the coach is fantastic. I think he's the best part because he's basically the villain of the movie. At one point, he's threatening to take away Jonathan Moxon's scholarship if he doesn't, like, you know, play by the rules and do this other stuff. There's a classic scene where he's trying this, like, spread offense, like, trick play, and John Voight gets pissed, and he's like, oop-de-f and oop and stuff like that. They had a nickname for it and stuff. But John Voight becomes the villain later on because he's, you know, there's a kid that gets hurt, and it's clear that he's just thinking about winning in championships, and the well-being of these kids means nothing. You know, Paul Walker gets injured early on in the film, and he's basically cast off pretty much. Like, now that he can't do anything for the team, he's kind of just on the sideline, and nobody really cares what he does. It's also got a classic speech at the end, which I feel like most of these football movies have to have, is at least one attempt at, like, the classic bring the team together speech. This is the 48, play the 48 minutes for the next 48 minutes or something like that. Let's be heroes.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Yeah. So that's classic. There's also a lot of pretty good football in it, which I thought was good too. And I was surprised. I mean, it had a considerable amount of, like, football, and that was a lot of part of, you know, obviously it's a football movie, but again, a lot of these films don't really have a ton of football, and this one actually was pretty good at that.
Well, it's like guilty pleasure Friday Night Lights.
Yes, yes.
Because it's just like, it's a little bit kind of more like late 90s comedy, or, you know, kind of like, just kind of like, because it's not real serious. there are serious elements because John Voight's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Friday Night Lights, everything's serious. Everything's really serious. Billy Bob Thornton plays that kind of like, hard, you know, really hardcore coach. And, like, there's, like, an injury people have to, like, play through. I mean, it's, so that's based on Friday Night Lights, the book. Not Friday Night Lights, the show, which is better than, like, almost every other show because it's awesome. But we're not going to talk about that because we're focusing on movies. But, like, Varsity Blues is just kind of, like, it's, like, fun Friday Night Lights because it's just, like, you know, Tweeter's not in Friday Night Lights. You can let Tweeter be Tweeter.
No, yeah.
You know, they all go to a strip club at one point.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite that serious thing. But I think that's kind of the guilty. That's kind of like why a lot of people love it. It's kind of like it isn't. It takes certain things seriously, but then, like, it goes over the top in a lot of great ways too.
And it was interesting too because this is like I think this is one of the first. I can't remember if there are any older ones, but this is one of the first ones where, like, a player gets concussed and what's Billy Bob gets a concussion basically, and he's got to play through it, and you see all the after effects mm-hmm. and stuff. And especially now with football, where that's like a very serious topic, it's just interesting that that was like one of the first films that even touched on that even a little bit. You know, I can't remember any of the other football mm-hmm. films we've seen really do that, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, it kind of teeters on that weird line of it's a football film, but it's also like one of those teen kind of films from the 90s that we're kind of running through. It's almost a mix of both. But I think that's what makes it fun, too. It's a fun movie, but it's still really good, too. And they got, I mean, again, John Voight, I think, is fantastic in it just because he plays such a great villain in that coach character. So it works out really well.
Well, I mean, we had She's All That and, like, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You. And so you had, like, you had a whole bunch of those, like, again, and those late 90s comedies had a certain vibe.
It was like the football version of that.
Exactly. But it was like good because it's just like it wasn't the same thing. There wasn't like the choreographed, you know, prom scene that everybody where everybody knew the dance or something. You know, it got away from the tropes and just kind of been like, OK, well, let's put it in like Texas football because it makes the stakes a lot higher for everything. And then, you know, the comedy means more when all the stakes are so high.
Yeah, exactly. OK, Brian, your third and final pick. What is
it? I was torn because one of my favorite genres is like the misfit football team, like subgenre,
kind of like the Bad News Bears of football.
Yeah, exactly. And so I both love The Replacements and Necessary Roughness, but I'm going with The Replacements. Or no, I'm not.
I was gonna say you changed your mind.
That's the thing. It's just like I think they're 12 and 14 on my rankings, but I am going with Necessary Roughness. It came out in 1991. So the whole premise of it is kind of, it's based on, I can't remember, it's a Texas university. I think it might have been North Texas. I can't remember what. What happens is this, you know, Texas State, like, they win the national championship, but then they've had all these, like, violations. And it's pretty much, they get the death penalty from the NCAA. Like, no more football program. What they'd have to do is they have to, like, rebuild the football program from nothing. So they bring in this coach that, like, you know, who won't take any guff. There's no scholarships. They have to get a football team from, like, the regular student body. So you got Scott Bakula as, like, quarterback in his 30s who never went to college because his dad got sick. So he ended up tending the farm. So he's got all his eligibility left. So he comes in, like, as this, like, 30-something freshman quarterback. You have Sinbad playing, like, this great defensive end. But he's also, like, the physics professor. Like, so he's a genius, but, like, he really, really, really good at football, too. Jason Bateman plays a wide receiver who's like a legacy at the college. His rich daddy like paid for the library. He's got his name on it. Kathy Ireland's the place kicker. It's so good because like all these personalities kind of work together and they're really horrible. Of course, at first they start bonding and they start kind of like working together and then they start winning. And then they of course have like the big showdown with like the really good Texas team. I think you can all pretty much guess what happens there because it's comedy and it's like feel good ending and stuff like that. So, but everything works really well. And I think that Scott Bakula Sinbad thing, you know, both are kind of like TV stars. I think back then, you know, kind of they were kind of in the echelon of movies. People knew about them from movies. They weren't like these like big stars, but they worked together really well. It's just like, they're kind of like, they used to know each other in high school because they played against each other. So they're kind of friends. And it's kind of a cool dynamic because like, you have all these kind of like other kind of weird personalities. But they're like two old guys that kind of get each other in a way.
It's interesting too because you look on paper and this cast is so strange. Like it's such a weird pairing because there's really no, you know, like Jerry Maguire had Tom Cruise. I mean, I think even like Rudy had like Sean Astin. I think he was coming off stuff like Goonies and things like that. So he was a relatively big name movie wise. But yeah, this feels like a really weird like combo of people. So and I'm surprised that it still works out even with this cast.
Yeah, and even the replacements had like Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
I mean, so you were operating with that even, you were operating on a higher level. But, you know, because like Scott Bakula, everybody knew from Quantum Leap and Sinbad, obviously was Sinbad. But it's just like, but it works. It works. It totally works. But again, replacements I love too. So it's, you know, it's like, they're kind of, you know, it depends on the day which one I like better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is my third pick. I went with Any Given Sunday, which came out in 1999, and it's directed by Oliver Stone. It stars Jamie Foxx as Willie Beeman. He is the backup quarterback on this fictional pro football team. Al Pacino is his head coach, which at the time was like, Al Pacino's playing a football coach? That is the weirdest thing, I think, ever, probably. LL Cool J plays the star running back on the team. You have Dennis Quaid, who is the starting quarterback. What ends up happening is, it follows this team through the season. And it's interesting because that's basically the structure of the movie is you're following the team through the course of a season. You have Cameron Diaz, who is the daughter of the owner, who I think dies in the movie. And so she assumes ownership of the team. So you have all these different dynamics of being a pro, but it also follows Jamie Foxx because he's trying to get his shot in the limelight. He's playing backup. He finally gets a shot at a starting quarterback role. He's kind of seen as like, initially is kind of like a Michael Vick type quarterback. He scrambles and does all those different things. But, you know, eventually they win and he's doing great. And it just kind of tracks his career in this whole season. There are two scenes that are really fantastic. Again, I go back to the speeches. There's Al Pacino's speech at the end of the movie where he's talking about you have to fight in life every inch and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's a really good speech. It's probably one of the better, you know, speeches in a football film, definitely. It's a classic moment. And then you have... There's a house party at one point, I think, in the middle of the movie. Lawrence Taylor's in this, too, who played football for real. And he's one of the defensive players on the team. I think it is at his house. So at the time, you know, Willie Beeman's big and he's popular and he's, you know, getting all these accolades and advertisements and endorsements and all this stuff. So he starts talking a little too cocky. And I think he says a comment about how, you know, they're playing great. He wishes the defense would step up a little more. So LL Cool J's character goes to Lawrence Taylor and says, hey, he's saying all this crap. So It ends with Lawrence Taylor taking a chainsaw or some kind of saw and sawing Jamie Foxx's car in half while he's watching. And then he talks about there's two sides to football, offense and defense. And it's one of the funniest scenes in the movie. And it's just a really good cast. I think Jamie Foxx plays that character great. I think Al Pacino as a coach is still a little weird sometimes, but I think
he's still Al Pacino.
It's Al Pacino. So, I mean, he's fantastic. He's just absolutely fantastic. And at the time, LL Cool J and, you know, Lawrence Taylor wasn't really in a lot of stuff. He was pretty solid in the movie, too. And LL Cool J, I think, had been in some movies here and there, but he was great also. He's like the, you know, he's the running back who feels like he's the star and, you know, everyone caters to him and he pulls that off great. And I just think it's really well acted and I think the story's really good. And there's just a lot of layers to it. I really enjoyed it.
What's interesting because like Oliver Stone does so many kind of like weird political films or like, you know, or just serious film like Platoon and JFK, you know, and things like that. Whereas this one, it's just like, it's obviously serious, but there's a hyper realistic element to it. There's like a fun, there's like an underlying kind of like weirdly fun and entertaining part to it because they're kind of like oversized personalities who just don't get along. And like, you know, Al Pacino is the one who's got to like kind of crazy himself, who's got to kind of keep the balance. I think I would have liked to see more of that than like, you know, I do love JFK, you know, conspiracy ass JFK and, you know, kind of like obviously W was kind of interesting, but it's just like if he'd done some more stuff like this, kind of like more kind of like fictional narrative-y kind of stuff, I think it would have been, because I mean he directs the crap out of it. I mean it's a really well made film, you know, kind of like taking the acting outside of it, he really captures like kind of like an interesting vibe of football, kind of like the kind of the nastier shadowy vibe of it, really kind of cool.
And it's funny too because when you see the idea for a film directed by Oliver Stone starring Al Pacino, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a fantastic movie. Then you learn it's a football film and it's totally confusing because you're like, how are they going to pull this off? But it works. It works really well. And again, Al Pacino is football coach. I was totally surprised at the time. And even still once in a while, I'm kind of like, I can't believe he played a football coach, but it works. Okay, listeners, it's your turn. Who are you picking to win the Super Bowl this year? Do you even care? Are you just in it for the snacks or the commercials or the Puppy Bowl? What's your favorite football movie? Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at MothershipPod. You can tweet at us individually. I'm at BrettMolina23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And Kay Lawls, who's still at TCA's, is at KLAWLS. So you can ask her too. Don't forget, you can email us as well, MothershipPod@USAtoday.com. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free. While you're there, leave us a rating or a review. We would greatly appreciate it. We always love the feedback. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can also find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or pretty much any other app you listen to podcasts. You will find us. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.